Shopify's already taken the cash register online, helping millions sell billions around the world. But did you know that Shopify can do the same thing at your retail store? Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify. That's right, Shopify is the sound of selling everywhere. Online, in-store, on social media, and beyond. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. With Shopify POS, you can accept credit cards, mobile payments, and every other major payment method, all with low fees and transparent pricing, starting on day one. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/MLB podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/MLB podcast to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/MLB podcast. It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The thing about Nito, I know that we're done with Nito, right? Like, offensively, he does nothing. And I know that we've all sit there and say that Nito is a dead bat, but they love him. And I don't understand this. Buck is notorious about sticking with his guys. He's going to keep on playing Nito as much as possible. Navarre's going to be here. It opens up the DH, as we talked about the last podcast with Evan. It's going to open up that DH aspect to Alvarez's game, that he can now play more DH. But it's still a wasted spot. Like, here's the thing, Gallo. This Mets team is not good enough right now to continue to allow to have one-dimensional players. Like Vogelbach, Tommy Pham. I hate to put Mark Canna in there, too, because I think he has something to offer. But still, It's not enough right now. Those three guys can go, and the lineup would be better. Ronnie Mauricio adds more. I mean, you look what he's doing every day in the minors. He's going to add something more than what those three guys have. I'm telling you right now. And it's the same thing on all levels. I'm seeing all these guys, and it's just like you could even go with Escobar, even though he's turned it around a little bit lately. There's too many one-dimensional guys that we just have to move on from.
Well, my thing is with Canna, you know, until Pham gets DFA'd or sent down, traded, like, I'm okay with him being on the roster because he's not the one that I view as the weak outfielder. Even though he needs to be way better, and I'm kind of through with how average he's been, below average. But when I look at the roster, one, Navarre should be the backup. I'm done with Nito, and that shouldn't affect Alvarez. That shouldn't affect Vientos. That shouldn't affect Beatty. And if they're going to call up Mauricio, it makes no sense to keep Pham and Vogelbach on the roster. I think they would opt to send down, they would DFA Vogelbach just because he is positionless at this point, and he's giving you nothing, and you would still need another outfielder, and they probably wouldn't feel the need. He's a lefty bat, but I don't think they value that as much, and you do have a Beatty now, which added a lefty to the lineup or to the squad. I am confident that they are not as tied to Nito as everyone thinks. I think that they view this situation as not dire, as not like desperate, but that they can't operate like they did at this point last year because they are not winning every series. Like they last year, what was it? We went 2 months without losing a series or whatever it was. And I look at the way that they're operating this year, and I think they feel the urgency. Yeah, I think they feel the urgency. I don't know if any team does this, but I don't think that they are looking at what the Phillies did last year or the Braves 2 years ago or the Nationals 4 years ago, how they started extremely slow and still made the World Series. I don't think they're doing that. Like, I think they understand that they cannot fall too far behind. They're only barely sitting in that sixth spot. And we shouldn't even be talking like that in May, but we are. Here we are, you know, kick off the summer, and we're talking about standings. And I think that they understand that. So I do think that Nito is not safe. Same thing with Sanchez. I think they called him up because he was going to opt out anyway. So why not give him a shot while the other two guys were hurt? And he failed.
No, and I get that, and I agree with that part. I think the Sanchez, they you said that before, and I agree. They have him here. Why not give him a see what they have? And thank God they turned this around quick, because I would not want to sit here for another week of like, oh, well, we have Sanchez here because we can, and Alvarez has options. Let's send him down for a week because we really want to give Sanchez a shot. No. They were done and over with Gary, and that's great. One thing, though, that you said was just about the lineup and about just, you know, there are guys, we talk about Vogelbach, and I hate to keep on picking on him, but there's guys in this team that are just not carrying weight, and it's really detriment to everybody. Like, Pete Alonso has no protection. That's really what it comes down to. And I hate to say that, because they keep on force feeding all these other guys out there, and you can't protect him. I mean, listen, Pete Alonso does what he can. He's got 19 home runs in the season. He put up a ton of RBI. Same thing with Francisco Lindor. Now, listen, Lindor needs to step up a game a little bit. I give a BT a little bit of crap here or there about how good he will turn into. And I think he's so streaky. I saw a stat today about Francisco Lindor, which is crazy to me. In high leverage situations, I think he's got 4 home runs, 20 plus RBIs. His batting average and OPS are through the roof. But in mid to low situations, mm-hmm. they are completely down. They are like just like non-existent. And he's basically been an all or nothing type of player, which is good because in the clutch spots he's showing up. But he's not doing it much else. Now, and that's frustrating to me, because I'm like, is he not in enough clutch situations? Is that what's going on? Like, there's not enough base runners around for him to be into it? Like, what the hell's going on there?
I think that, and you might have been the one that said this to me, but much like Pete, I think that Lindor, when the team is pressing, he presses more at times. But I do think that, like, I've never worried when it's him or Alonso up in a big spot. And a lot, obviously, Alonso, you can't ask more from the guy. But I think Lindor in a big spot, I'm comfortable with. I would like to see more consistency. I think that it's a little overblown, the crap he gets, because he's one of our best players, and he's one of the best players in the league. And it's far from the issue of why we're not winning, because – like you said, too many guys not carrying your weight. You have Canna, who last year was a plus for us. He's not carrying his weight. I love Marte, but he has not played well. I think he's been playing through an injury. I think also, not to get sidetracked, this team plays through a lot of injuries, and you see guys feeling that pressure to, like, I need to be out here to help us win. I think we could have saw Marte go on the IL when he hurt his neck, but he's not carrying his weight. Obviously, we talked about Vogelbach, and I'm with you. I don't want to bag on the guy, and I don't want to rip him. He's just – and he's not the main reason, but he's a part of the issue. Like, he's a part of the more philosophical issue. And then you have Escobar, who I'm actually a little comfortable with, and it seems that once he knew that he was playing and his job wasn't completely done, he seemed to have relaxed a little bit. And he also has, you know, rumored, and it seems like it, that he's a huge clubhouse guy. So I'd rather not screw that up. But Tommy Pham, same thing. He gets off a lot because he wasn't the deadline deal last year. So he doesn't get the same hate that a Vogelbach gets. But Tommy Pham's given us nothing outside of a couple hits. You know, he did have that one single, which I think was the day game against the Rays that gave us the lead. But it's not like he's done anything else. He's been awful in the field. So why not put a Beatty or a McNeil out there? And I think that last year, a plus for us was the bottom of our lineup was hitting most of the season, and that the bench was one of the best in the season. We had guys like Travis Jankowski helping out. We had guys, how great Guillorme was for like 3 months before he got hurt. He went from being on the bench to starting, and we just don't have that this year, let alone the top guys hitting consistently.
one thing I will keep on going back to is Buck is killing me. Like Buck continues to where like we had a good bench last year and it felt like Buck was making the right moves at the right times and he was always finding ways to get people playing time, but it didn't feel as forced. Now it's feeling forced. It's like, you know, it's almost like since Billy Epler traded for Darren Ruff and Vogelback, they had to be forced into the lineup ever since then. And it's just if he acquired somebody, they're getting the time. Like, listen, Naquin didn't see as much time, which is good. Thank God. That was a mess. But, like, this is a problem because there's certain people that should be seeing more time, and they're just not doing it. And to me, it's at the point where Buck does it. He's almost confusing himself. Like, he's almost outplaying himself where we keep on seeing big-time situations where he doesn't know what to do anymore. Like, I don't want to say the game's passing him by, but I think he's just lost because he wants to, A, give his veterans a chance because that's what he is. He's a veteran guy. He loves his guys. He loves his vets. He loves the people that he thinks he can rely upon. But when it comes to the young kids, he doesn't trust them. But those are the guys that he has to play.
Well, I think that I actually disagree with that because I think one, if these guys are forcing the lineup, I don't think it's Buck that's forcing them in there. I do think Buck is a player's manager, and part of that comes with the way he treats his vets. And I would like to see, you know, the moves work out more. But sometimes, you know, last year, everything was working out, and that's why it felt like he was pushing all the right buttons. At some point, the fans of the world, the Vogelbachs, the Mauricios, not the Mauricios, you know, even Vientos, like Guillerme, the catching situation, all these guys have to produce. Like, we can't just expect Buck to just put a guy in there and for it to work out. Like last year, you had Janikowski coming up in big spots. You had Guillerme able to slide into the lineup flawlessly and help out. I think that we're also getting burned a bit on, you know, situational baseball where like the steals, you know, sometimes if like I love being aggressive, but it feels like this year they've been like over aggressive and I know they've made the bases bigger, but it's hurt us a lot. I mean, you had the big Nimmo one. You've had it a couple times. I mean, we've seen Alonso, who, you know, is not the best base runner in the world, you know, make some blunders in that aspect, whether that's coaching or just on his own will. But I also can't blame Buck for the pitching. Like, it's not his fault that Scherzer was so awful to start the season and the rest of the pitching staff was either hurt or just as bad. Like, I think he was dealt a poor hand. And I'm not even ready to really, like, pile on Epler for the offseason as I am, you know, the deadline I was not happy about, but like even him, like I think that like there's a lot that has to, he gave Buck a short bullpen, but the rest of it, like we can't be mad about because coming into the season, we were excited. Whereas, and I just can't see Buck being the reason why this is happening. Guys have to start hitting. Guys have to start pitching. You know, we need to stop trotting out AAA ball players in the middle of relief innings. You know, I just can't put this on Buck. Also, remember, too, we had all that those situations where guys were getting hit and we were like, oh, Buck's out there for the team. You know what I mean? Like, he's going out there for Lindor. We're putting the red cam on him. There's none of that feel-good stuff this year, so I think people are turning on him.
Like, that's funny because last year, you're right. You totally nailed it. Last year, there was all these stories about how he connected with Lindor. It was like, you just sit to the side. Like you play your game and I'll take the rest of it. I'll take the rest of the hits. And Buck's been doing that for the most part. He's been taking the hits. He's been trying to take the hits for all these guys that are out there, all these vets. And it's just backfiring now. And now it makes him look bad. You're right about that.